Part of our research team is here, so I'd like Paulette and Dana to stand up. Another member of our research team is Carrie, and she was trying to get here, but I think she's probably playing in the parade right now, like many others, as we know. I'm Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. I've been working in public health for 38 years, and I am very lucky to have a subcontract with Mayo Clinic Spirit of Eagles program that is headed by Judith Cower, one of three American Indian oncologists in the world. We have this presentation is talking about Cancer 100. Have any of you used the Cancer 100 curricula before? Anyone? Just one. Okay. The generic version was actually sponsored by Mayo Clinic Spirit of Eagles in 2004 through the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. It has been revised again, and there's new generic models, but the National Cancer Institute and other institutes wanted a little more emphasis on genes and on biospecimens in particular. And so there's three of the generic modules that they really wanted targeted. So we got a subcontract for our team to work together and try to figure out what we need to do. Now, the generic version that is created is designed to be done all in an eight-hour day with quite a few different modules, and it's each module is supposed to be 30 to 45 minutes. Now, I want you to look again at these topics. The majority of my community doesn't know what cancer is, much less what a gene is, much less what a chromosome is, much less what a biospecimen is. So it's kind of unrealistic for us to think that we're going to have a whole day, of which 30 minutes is going to be on each of these, and there's going to be any comprehension, and there is no interactivity that was was included in the slides. So for my community, we were a little bit hesitant about how well this would actually work. When we look through the actual body of the curriculum, we found that the instructional guide was superb. The facilitator's guide was excellent. And we looked at the notes that were in the notes pages, and it was quite good. But the information that was in notes pages should have been on the slides. You know, so we really went through and critiqued very carefully up in the mountains. Al came up to Pine in Colorado. We had a good time. We even did Zumba. So we really, really liked a few of the things. And so with our four-member team, we started to revise it. We had many issues. One is that the generic curriculum has true-false items, which personally, I say, why bother? When you have a 50-50 odds of getting an answer correct, you know, what are you really assessing? The literacy level for many segments of the curricula was grade 17. Half of our population is high school and less education. And usually you look at the highest grade that's completed. Two grades under that is what you figure the literacy level is, unless somebody has done a lot of self-education, which many people do. And it basically was just boring. It needed participant interactive activities. So what we had been assessing over the years in our program, we're Native American Cancer Research Corporation, again, part of Mayo Clinic Spirit of Eagles, is that if we added a participant interactive activity and we checked people's knowledge from the same workshop with and without participant interactive activity, that there was a 25% increased retention of knowledge in the ones that had participant interactive activities. Thus, we think they're rather important. Plus, they're fun. They're fun to do. And of course, it wouldn't be relevant to our community. There's no reason that they really should have, other than the original one was supported by Spirit of Eagles in 2004. But anybody, any cultural group, underserved group, would need to add modifications to make something like this relevant to what they were doing. And we really, again, we just didn't think doing this in 30 to 45 minutes was really very feasible. So Module 4 was the role of genes in cancer. And we retained none of the generic slides. We took 75% of the slides from another program that Spirit of Eagles has worked together on, and that is Genetic Education for Native Americans. So GENA is the acronym from that. Module 8 was biospecimens. We retained 12 of the generic slides, and they're all in Objective 1. And about 50% of the slides are from GENA, and the rest were new slides that we created as a team or based on feedback we got from when we piloted. Tested. The third module was chronic conditions in cancer, and it's about 10 slides that remained. We got diabetes, weight management from Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, and again, Carrie Lopez was our partner, and so she was able to pull those slides together. And then we added others. We have a Cancer 100 module, and we have five PATH modules that are full curriculum. We took some excerpts from those as well. Examples of interactive activities, we had Genetic Jeopardy. We had BRCA2, Family Roles. One of the most popular ones is a strong-arm case study that is based on a real case study of a Navajo student who basically got lied to about taking a specimen because Navajo Nation has an ordinance about taking part in genetic research. And this gentleman found out 2 years later, literally last year, that they had his specimen and it was identified as being linked to him. And so he's had quite a challenge. And that has been the one that our American Indian community, when they get to that case study, they're like, we're not done yet. There's what else. He needs to talk to a healer at home. He needs to make certain that spiritually he's still where his specimen, you know. So they went, you know, they really, really wanted to go into a lot of good proactive solutions. We added American Indian stories to all three modules. You notice I'm not saying Alaska Native. There were so many changes we need to do. We focused on American Indian changes. There still need to be modifications to be appropriate for Alaska Natives. We expanded the time to 1.5 up to 3 hours per module. And that has been quite an interesting little transition. I'll tell you a story if I have time at the end. We reduced the literacy on 95% of all of the slides. We added multiple choice questions, and we're still playing around with these. We use an audience response system, but we know that most people don't have audience response systems, so we have to have it for if people wanted to do it without an audience response system or with one. We added detailed notes pages so that you don't have to also have a facilitation guide, that you have one file that has everything in it. And so that's where our facilitation guide is, within the notes pages. Now, the pilot tests that are listed here are primarily for Module 8, which is biospecimens and biobanking. And we included different groups. So through Mayo Clinic's Hampton Scholars Program, we had the natives who were enrolled in the program take part in a couple of the pilot tests. And actually, they took part in three different parts of it. So there were different objectives that were here and here, that they were both in these. And this was a totally different group. This was a group of navigators who took part going through it. And the May 15th was a special session in the Southeast going through the modules. So for the biospecimens, there's 24 participants, 18 females, 22 were American Indians. Age range was 18 to 75. And 20 had less than 10 hours total of genetic education prior to any of the workshops. And 90% said the content was new to them when we asked them at the end of it. So the interactive activities definitely increased their comfort level. And it made them laugh, or it made them smile, or it made them visit with one another. And their anxiety level went down. We had some people who were nervous talking about genes. They didn't want to talk about genes. They're kind of like, well, you know, I don't really know what they are, and I think maybe I'm going to be stupid in here. And it's like, no, our ancestors, all of us are in this room because our ancestors figured out how to work with genes and how to create stronger crops, how to do different things. Everybody's culture did something. We wouldn't be in this room, you know, without it. We just didn't use the words that we are using now. So when we look just at the pilot test again for the biospecimens, the average percent of participants who answered the pre-workshop knowledge item correct was 33%. The post-assessment was 66%, so it was a 33% increase. In general, we try to have at least a 20% increase. Many programs go for 10%. We say, why bother? So we have to have at least 20, and 30% is pretty darn good, and to go for 33. We also asked, would you recommend this workshop to your friends? And 100% said yes, which was quite a surprise. Example of some of the cultural modifications. We talked about characteristics of chronic conditions. The chronic conditions that we're addressing in Module 9 are really related to chronic conditions related to cancer. Late effects of fatigue, late effects of the depression, long-term effects. So we're looking at side effects, late effects, long-term effects. And, you know, we have just little characteristics. We also like to include a picture of one of our real survivors and a quote from what's in there. And we had tried for a very long time to figure out a good way to explain cancer risk, because we said, well, you know, if you smoke cigarettes, it puts you at a much higher risk for cancer. And they said, okay, the community interprets that as if I smoke, I will get cancer. And medical science is lying, because I know people who smoke who haven't had cancer. So we played around with this quite a bit on another project. And first we had a canoe, and every risk factor put holes in the canoes, but we couldn't plug up the canoes fast. We were drowning, and so we tried a lot of different models. And what ended up working for us was using a shield of health. And this is animated on our website, but it's for every risk that you have, it puts a hole in your shield of health. And we say, okay, now does this mean you definitely are going to get cancer? No, I still have leather to protect me against cancer. That's right, you do. But then we look at health effects, what things can reduce these even more. Oh, if I start exercising 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day, wow, I can really reduce my risk. Oh, if I start, so it really tried to get proactive. Some of the different issues that we brought up and how to tie them in is that ownership of specimens is a very, very big issue in Indian country. We are tired of being studied and being guinea pigs, and when we want to do follow-up study, we get a young graduate student who wants to have access to specimens, and we're being denied access to the specimens that were taken from our own tribe. And the tribes are not putting up with a lot of this anymore. They're really being very proactive in a very responsible way. So some of the questions we say, well, who owns the specimen data? And so the people discuss of who owns it. And we had some debates of different tribes saying, in our tribe, when we do an informed consent, we say we have to have access to the data for anybody that we want to do further research on it. Another said, how did you get that language? We'd like to have that in ours too. So they started sharing resources, which was quite fun. And the second question, what's your tribe opinion about owning data or specimens? And we clarify that if you're going to be storing specimens, that you have to have an 80 below zero freezer, and that you have to have a backup generator, because if you lose your electricity, which in my communities, that is very common for us to lose electricity, you have to have at least one backup generator, and it has to be long enough to not lose those specimens, because that ends up being many, many thousands of dollars and could feasibly be millions of dollars by losing all the specimens. You can contact University of Colorado, because they did this with their new building 3 years ago. They lost $1.5 million in specimens, biospecimens. Woman's hair turned gray over the weekend. Just amazing to see this. And who or what organization would your tribe be likely to trust? And this was really fun, because we had people from the Northern Plains who were saying, you know who I would trust with my specimens is Chuck Wiggins at University of New Mexico. I would trust Chuck. And others would say, I would only trust Judith Cower. So they had real differences of opinions of where there was a relationship that actually was important to be in there. And then we talk about cultural perspectives. Like when you go through cancer, for certain combinations of chemo drugs, many people, not all, lose their hair. Well, hair has a different connotation in many of our tribal nations. In my tribe, hair has grown to show respect for motherhood and respect for my mother in particular. In another tribe, you take the hair and it's used in the pillow for when you die. So there's different uses. Another one, hair is used for curses, or it can be used for blessings. And another one of my girlfriends grows her hair. Her hair grows like more than an inch a month. And she cuts off her hair every year, because part of human hair is part of her brother's traditional regalia for him to do ceremonial dances. So they're grown in different reasons. So when you lose hair from chemotherapy, it's not just the trauma of suddenly I look like Jean-Luc Picard. It's that you have all these cultural connotations that come along with it. So it's much more significant. And then we ask about, what's the difference? Because right now, the majority of our tribes are okay giving a prenatal test to see if a child has Down syndrome or any other type of anomaly, that can be assessed through that type of test. And yet, if you talk to adults about taking a test to look for cancer risk, it is not considered in the same way at all. It is not considered a related issue. We say, well, it's still a blood test. No, it's not. It's an adult. It's different. And so there's many different controversial issues. So some tribes are opposed. Other tribes are comfortable with it. But it varies quite a bit. An example of interactive activity is we found that using hands-on is the best way for people to learn, and they have fun. So we make chromosome ropes. We have the telomeres that are up at the top, and they talk about what the centromere is. And we give everybody a snip, and we explain that in all of the chromosomes that we do, we only go down to chromosome 15, because by the time we're to 15, it's about the this long, and it's hard to start tying the knot for the centromere in the middle of it. But then they work together in pairs. They figure out the longest chromosome to the smallest chromosome, what a SNP is. They pair up with somebody else, and they give their chromosome a SNP. So it could be, will not give up control to the TV remote. It could be, you know, just something silly. Must shop till she drops. So they come up with little fun things that they just kind of share. And they say, well, now I see it's only on one chromosome. Where is it? Oh, it's on the petite side. Oh, it's on the queen size. They're using the language so that they understand, like, what 3PQ actually is. Or, you know, so they start to get the concepts. This is an excerpt of Strong Arm Study, which, again, is the one that they have... keep saying, no, we want to finish Strong Arm. We'll stay late. We want to do more Strong Arm. And we start off with tying in with different stories. We talk about how in the past we had different types of diseases. And this picture happened to be in a museum, and Carrie was going through, and she says, that's my grandma. And they had it unidentified, which she was able to do. But it talks about the gift of knowledge and the gift of giving back. And like for Carrie and her tribe, they're very supportive of sharing genetic specimens and taking part in genetic tests. So the tribes are not the same in any of their perspectives. And you have to go in positively, coming together to create a relationship, building a good trust relationship before you talk about taking specimens by any means. But you can't assume that there's one certain belief structure by any tribe in whom you're missing or working with. I had to make this one big. This is one of our introductory slides to talking about how important our ancestors were, that our ancestors knew what they were doing. Are any of you familiar with Beverly Doolittle's art? Okay. This is an Indian on a horse. In the trees, there's the horse's tush. Right there. There's the horse's front leg over here. Beverly Doolittle is known for doing these different types of paintings that have spirit paintings, for one thing, but they also do these camouflage. But this actually reflects something that shows the knowledge of our ancestors. Our ancestors who live in the Northwest and live in the mountain region, such as where I'm from, they learned to breed Appaloosa so they would... blend in with the atmosphere, and they would be camouflaged so that the people who lived in that area would not be able to find them and to shoot them. And we got permission, official permission from Beverly Doolittle to use her picture just in that slide. An example of a knowledge item, which is true about BRCA2. If you take a look at the item, and this one is on the pretest, and you can see that basically they didn't know what BRCA2 was. For those of you that don't know, BRCA2, BR stands for breast, CA stands for cancer, and 2 means it was the second biomarker that was directly related to breast cancer. So we talk about BRCA2, and we have an activity with BRCA2 and the roles of genes in cancer. And so we really are finding a very, very nice increase. So our next step with this is what has happened with the three modules is the first module is the role of genes in cancer. And we have a beginning module and we have an intermediate module. The second one that is on biospecimens and biobanking, we have a short version, a 1-hour version. We have an hour and a half version that is a basic version. And we have an hour and a half to 2-hour version that gets into pharmacogenomics, and it actually includes doing an activity with candies who are representing 2A4 and 3D, I'm sorry, 2D6 and 3A4 for cytochrome P450 and what the relationships can be. So if they eat a candy, it changes the balance. Can they get benefit from taking morphine-type drugs for pain management and so on? But that's in the advanced version of it. And the third one on the chronic conditions in cancer, we have a short version, we have a medium version. And every time I've presented it, we started doing the short version, and the group said, we want to know more about long-term side effects. I've ended up doing the intermediate version. But Carrie's going to be doing more with the basic version of that one. We're going to start holding webinars on how to teach these modules, and I'm going to be putting up the revised slides as of now onto the Mayo website, which is NativeAmericanPrograms.org, and on our site, NatAmCancer.org, and we will have those times of when they're going to be available. We think we're going to have multiple webinars covering different things and then testing people the next time, saying, okay, you go ahead and start teaching it. It would happen. Here's an example of a common question you'll get to when you come to this part. We can handle a maximum of 26 on the webinars. Right now we're anticipating 12. On the webinars, but it is open to anybody who would like to take part. We know that there are people who are adapting these modules for other cultures. Right now it seems like what we're doing is working. So thank you very much. Any questions?